Hi, today is February 21st, 2015. This is Mobile Views Podcast number 109. And today, John Westfall and I are going to talk about something that we used to use and we're kind of curious about. So we asked an old friend of ours, Sven Johansson. Actually, Sven, how do you prefer to pronounce your name?
It's Sven Johansson.
Okay. You know, some people have a different way to, you know, a little uptick on a syllable somewhere. Right. Anyway, who is currently a Microsoft MVP, Most Valuable Professional in the Windows Phone Consumer category. Is that still correct? Is that still what it's called?
That's still what they're called.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen here when Windows 10 comes.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell the folks who don't know what an MVP is, a Most Valuable Professional is? You don't work for Microsoft.
No, we do. None of us work directly for Microsoft or at all for Microsoft. As a matter of fact, you cannot work for Microsoft and be an MVP. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you lose your MVP-ness if you get a job with them. Mm-hmm. What we are is we're just folks that like Microsoft products and tend to help people out on forums and news groups when those were around with issues and questions and whatever. Microsoft watches those sorts of things and takes notice of people that are not overly negative about Microsoft and do a good job of answering questions reasonably and accurately.
Okay. And then you guys get together once a year in Redmond or somewhere thereabouts. And
you have an annual summit that they have. Yeah. Which, you know, if you can get there, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah. So John and I both were very avid Windows Mobile enthusiasts. Yes. And to a lesser extent, the first generation Windows Phone. The last time I used a Windows Phone was in 2012. That was HTC HT7. And John, when was the last time you used a Windows Phone device? Was it around then too?
Yeah, would have been right about then, right about after I wrote a book on make Windows Phone 7 simple or something like that for A-Press. Pretty much as soon as that book came out, I played with the phone for a little while longer and then ended up starting writing a book that was on Android, so I kind of switched away and I hadn't switched back since.
Yeah. So it's been at least 2 years for you and me to use it. So we are, I think it's safe to say, I think I can speak for you on this, and we're kind of out of touch with that whole technology area. So we brought in Sven. We're also hoping to get another Microsoft MVP, Jack Cook, on the line, but he may be tied up in a snowstorm somewhere. So quite literally, I should say. So we'll see if he's able to join us in a few minutes. But if not,
you mean literally someone tied him up and threw him in a snowstorm?
I know it's really a vivid visual image.
Isn't wow.
It?
Well,
he could have Neely on a leash that wrapped
around. Right. right. Neely is his dog. So at any rate, okay, so Sven and Jack, if we get them here. So Sven, I'm really confused by this whole, okay, so we, the three of us, grew up with Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
They changed mm-hmm. the name and made it incompatible with Windows Mobile when it became Windows Phone. So none of the Windows Mobile software could be moved from Windows Mobile 6.x could be moved over to Windows Phone 7. And then they went to Windows Phone 8, or is it Windows 8 Phone? Windows Phone 8, right?
Windows Phone 8,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, could you move software from 7 to 8? I think the answer was no, yeah. But I can't remember.
No, you couldn't upgrade your phone.
Oh, okay.
Most of the apps did still work.
Okay, got it.
A lot of those are falling away at this point. There's some of the older Windows Phone 7 apps just don't work anymore, and they didn't bother to update them. I think there were some, you know, developer up to be done. Not a developer, but the vast majority of the apps that I had just carried right over.
Okay.
At least a little update or something.
Okay, so today, from John's and my point of view, what is Windows Phone 8 today? I mean, I know we're going to transition soon to Windows 10 Phone or something, but what is it today in terms of what it does and why you like it?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be unfamiliar with it at all. It looks a heck of a lot like Windows Phone 7. It still has the front screen with all the live tiles, and by that they're kind of like Android widgets where you've got a larger area where you can have information on the front. Looks good. The big difference was the underlying operating system that they used that they changed. between 7 and 8. The functionality is very similar to what you recall.
Okay. And what are you using today as your primary Windows Windows Phone 8 device?
Who's got the bird?
Oh, that's
yeah, that'll be my bird.
So. That's your bird. Okay. He's loud. So anyway, I'm using a Lumia 1020, which is probably what you might consider the flagship phone that exists today that's on AT&T. one of the problems we have is we have kind of a wide variety of devices, but you got a lot of carrier exclusivity. So if you're a Verizon, you get a 930. If you're on Sprint or T-Mobile, you get nothing. If you're an AT&T, you get either a 1020 or a 1520. Huh. If you wanted a flagship, and unfortunately, they are all fairly – they've been out for a long time, but I don't think they're not behind in technology, really. They're still reasonably competitive devices.
So, yeah, like the 1020 you have came out, what, at least 18 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and one of the interesting things to John and me, we were just talking about the other day, is that Windows Phone 8 has had its most success, and it only has 3% of the market, so that's, you know, kind of a relative term. But most of the success has been in the lower price market, the under $100 phone, kind of where the feature phone used to be.
Right, yeah.
So that's, and in fact, I think some of the tech betas for 10 came out first for those lower-priced phones.
Yeah, kind of. The tech preview stuff that I think you're going to talk about a little bit later are the 3-series phones. There's the 635, 730, 735. So not necessarily the very bottom phones. Mm-hmm. But we don't have any 3-series flagship phones except for one, and that's the 930. Mm. And that's Verizon only, and no, and it didn't come out for that.
And why is it called the 3-series, the 3-part of the 930?
It seems like, you know, they had 800 and then 810 and then 820 and then 830. Got it. So as the first number goes up, you get a little bit better phone, and as the middle number is, it's more a newer phone.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes the last number is whether it's a dual SIM or a single SIM, but they've kind of gotten away from that.
Or a carrier or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
521 is a T-Mobile 520.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting to me in that when we were all Windows Mobile aficionados, the carrier exclusivity was just as kind of powerful then, where if you were on one carrier, you could get two or three different phones. If you were on another carrier, you might have one phone. If you were on another carrier, you had to get a phone and unlock it and use it if you wanted to use a Windows Mobile phone. So Microsoft still has not quite crack the code of getting these things in more wider availability, it seems.
Yeah, well, I think the only one who's really cracked that is Apple.
Okay, so speaking of Apple and other phones, so can you tell us how Windows Phone 8 is significantly different, or if it's significantly different from Android iOS? What makes it unique? It's something that it does, something that you can't do on Android or iOS, something that you find particular, you know, as a person who uses it as your primary phone, you find particularly appealing.
Yeah, that's a really difficult question. It becomes a very personal thing. I have a Moto X and I have an iPhone 5 as well.
Yeah. So you know what we're talking about. I mean.
Yeah. I think if I had to really think about it, it's the start screen. You know, what you would think of maybe as an app launcher, but it has so much information and is reasonably well customizable so that what I want to get to quickly, I can get to quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's radically different on Android and iOS. iOS, I think, is pretty much an app launcher. You got a sea of icons.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Badge, you know, to tell you that you've got one of something on whatever this is. But that's as far as it goes.
Right. It won't show you like a stock price or news items on your home screen, at least.
And then I do that. Now, you can do that on Android, but I think on my Android phone, there's a very limited amount of widgets you can get on there with any kind of information.
You know, that's actually a good point. Widgets on Android make a lot more sense on tablet form factor, that where you have a lot more screen real estate to put up very heavy informational tiles, or not tiles, widgets. Whereas on a phone, you're so limited, you can get maybe one highly informational widget, and then you've kind of squeezed out of space to do anything else. So I'd agree with that.
No, you can't see it on the radio, but I mean, that's my that's my screen, and there's one, two, three, you know, there's probably 20 different tiles on here, each with information.
Yeah.
That's actually usable.
And as you hold it up, I see something really different from what the phone I used to use. So the phone I used to use only had two columns of tiles. You have like four, up to four, and every row has four tiles.
It depends on what you call a column of tiles.
Uh-huh.
They've got about three sizes, small, medium, and wide.
Yeah.
So small, medium, and large. But a wide tile goes all the way across. You can put four of the small tiles across, two of the medium.
Uh-huh.
And they've got, I think, probably the best folder implementation of all three of them. Just like anybody else, you take a tile and drag it on another one, and it makes a folder. And you can
I see. I was wondering what you meant by folder. Yeah, that I don't think that was available back in the Windows Phone 7 days.
No, that's an 8.1.
Okay.
And inside that folder, which is a tile, you have a grid of the other tiles, which you can actually see, and it actually still gives you the information, and they kind of rotate from small to large. So within a folder, it will rotate the various things that are in it.
Mm.
So you can see, you know, if there's some text in there, you couldn't see it on a small tile, but it will eventually, in a couple of seconds, turn into a medium tile within the folder, and you can read it.
So if you had, for example, three news apps in a folder, mm-hmm. and each of them had some live tile feature, would that rotate in that folder in your top level?
Yeah, it would.
That's actually pretty interesting. I like that feature.
It works quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that feature. I didn't know that. And our live tiles need, I don't know how to put this. Live tiles need to be developed specifically by the program, right? So not all apps have live tiles, or is that not true?
I think Microsoft provides a back-end service that runs these things.
Okay.
I think some of Microsoft's will take things directly off the phone, but most of them are pulling information off the network.
Hey, I'm adding Jack Cook on the line, folks.
There we go.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, sorry I was late. I was up on the roof.
Oh, you're Santa Claus.
I had to get rid of some snow.
Oh, yeah. So Jack is way up in the northeast yonder. Where you under a snowstorm now, or is it past, or is it coming, or what's happening over there?
Oh, no, it's just starting right now. About 4 feet on one of the roofs of the house, and I had to get it off, and it was all compressed, and I just ended up being up there longer than I expected.
No problem, Jack. I figured it was something. I was telling the guys I figured it was something weather related up there in the Great Northeast.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, this has been. We've had about 97 inches of snow, a little bit less than that. We'll set a record for the month today.
So I'm going to guess that you've probably had enough snow this winter already.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the summer and getting out on my boat. That's for sure.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, folks, Jack Cook just joined us. And Jack, like Sven, is a Microsoft Windows Phone Consumer MVP, a Most Valuable Professional. And Sven explained what that is, by the way, Jack. So, and both Jack and Sven have been longtime MVPs. How long have you guys both been MVPs? About the same amount of time, maybe? Or close? Like 10 years?
Yeah, more than that. I think I got 2003 to 2015, and I lost a year in there when they decided that Windows Mobile and Windows Phone were incompatible, and so were their MVPs.
Yeah, but it wasn't a big break. It was less than a year, right?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half.
Yeah. Oh, it was more than a year. Okay. And Jack, you've been an MVP about the same amount of time, right?
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
This is the end of my 10th year.
Okay, well, congratulations to you both. So we were just asking Sven, you know, where Windows Phone 8 is today, and he had his thoughts. And what's your primary Windows phone today, Jack? What are you using on it as your daily driver?
I use this one, the Nokia 1020. Can you see it?
No, I don't see your video, actually.
Yeah, we just got your boat and water.
Which looks very nice. No snow on it.
But oh, really? Yeah. What? No. What? I don't know why I lost my video.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Not a big deal.
Wait a minute. Oh, it should. I did lose it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
You're just recording the voice anyway, Jack, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you and Sven are both using the slightly aging but still very popular Nokia 1020. And that's still a Nokia brand, right? That was before they lost the Nokia.
That's correct.
Brand.
That's correct.
Yeah. Not lost it, but got rid of it, I guess.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I just bought a Nokia 635 and it still says Nokia on it.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I thought they eliminated that branding. Interesting. Okay, and the 635 is kind of the mid-range phone, and that is one of the ones that you can upgrade to the beta release, right?
I wouldn't call a $50 phone a mid-range phone.
Okay. It's a highly affordable phone.
Extraordinarily. That's no contract. That's just
the price.
$50 to Amazon, they send you the phone, you're done.
That is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Buy it because it's one of the ones for the preview. So.
Yeah. And it that's cheaper than a lot of burner phones. I mean, so that's, it is. It's pretty amazing. Okay. So Jack, you've been an MVP for 10 years. You've been using Windows Mobile and Windows Phone 7 and 8 and all that stuff. I assume you're getting ready for 10. What's your thoughts on how it's significantly different from Android and iOS for you to choose it as your primary phone? What do you like most about it, I guess, is a question.
I guess the personalization aspect. I mean, if the four of us each had the exact same Windows phone in front of us, we would all have it set up differently. The look and the feel of it. You know, when I look at, my son uses an iPhone, and he loves it, but it's just the same old. Everyone's device looks the same. The layout of it, when you're using it, it's all the same. This just is just a little bit different for me.
And so that's its most compelling feature for you?
Well, no, I think the most compelling feature is the fact that for me, it's a seamless transition from using my PC, my tablets, to my phone. I could be doing. I was doing something earlier on my tablet, and then I had to leave earlier this morning. And I grabbed my phone and I finished doing what I was doing using the phone. So to me, it's just I couldn't get that experience using an iPhone.
Interesting.
And certainly not with an Android. I think it's.
Because Android doesn't have a desktop experience.
Well, but even the experience on an Android phone for me, the two Androids that I had tried a long time back, it just wasn't for me. But you know, that's why we have so many different kinds of phones, because everyone has a personal preference.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you, both of you, Sven and Jack. So, you know, back when I was using a Windows phone, the thing I liked about it most and least was the Bluetooth stack. And by that I mean the Windows Phone 7 device I had the very best voice Bluetooth stack I've ever used, bar none. It was the only Bluetooth stack I used that worked with my Bluetooth speakerphone in the car or a headset seamlessly. You know, I would tap a button or something and I could do a voice dial. It was 100% all the time it worked. Every time I tapped that button, it would make a phone call for me. And the voice recognition system generally would do the voice dialing correctly. And I can't say the same for either my Android or Windows phone. On the other hand, the Bluetooth stack also drove me crazy because it would not talk to almost anything else. I couldn't connect a keyboard to it, which, you know, and I, I'm one of those people, I don't use a physical keyboard with my phone a lot, but when I do, let's say once or twice a month, I would really like to do it and wouldn't let me do that. Another thing I couldn't figure out was it wouldn't let me stream music, so or audio from video. So I could only use it for phone calls. I couldn't use it for other kinds of media work on my phone. Has that changed in the last two and a half years?
I have no trouble. I don't know about you, Sven. I mean my streaming is in the car is wonderful.
Yeah, it's changed a bit. They don't have as wide a stack as a lot of people. You still can't connect a keyboard or a mouse to it.
Okay.
That's just that human interface device profile isn't in there. The A2DP stereo streaming works fine now. Okay. Works on the video as well. That was actually a Windows Phone 7 problem. I talked to one of the engineers at one of the summits and asked him, why the heck doesn't this work? And he said, we couldn't get the sync right, so we just left it out. So they were having problems with the audio, Bluetooth audio sync with the video. So you'd be watching it and it would be out of, it'd be a Japanese horror film. But that works just fine now.
Yeah.
I don't have problems. I've had problems with Uconnect in my old Jeep, but a lot of cars have problems with Bluetooth because the car Bluetooth tends to be 5 years behind on all of them. But a Motorola Roadster, a visor clip-on thing, it's brilliant with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, even for folks relatively, let's say, nice cars and recent models, yeah. Bluetooth is often a problem. And it's often worth it just to spend, I don't know, $70 or $80 on a visor clip-on Bluetooth speakerphone.
Yeah, the Roadster is kind of nice. It's got a motion sensor in it, so when you get in the car, it turns itself on.
Oh, that's nice.
And when you get out, after about 5 minutes, it shuts itself off. It doesn't feel movement or connection anymore.
And how does the – a little bit off topic, I guess, but I'm curious. So how long does a battery last, or is it one of those things that you plug into your car cigarette lighter or whatever it's called these days?
It easily lasts me a week or two.
That's good.
And I, and it tells me when it turns itself on, it tells me it's connected to 1020. Battery power is medium. When it says low, I bring it in and charge it.
Nice. Okay, question for both of you. One of the things that, and I don't know about John, but when he switched away from Windows Phone, when I switched away, one of the problems that was just driving me batty was the lack of apps that I wanted. Not so much the number, like a million versus 100,000 to me is kind of irrelevant. But specific apps I wanted, like the Starbucks app, like Google Voice, just wasn't there. And I know Google just isn't supporting that platform, so I'll assume that universe is not readily available. But what is there, and what do you like about it? What third-party apps are available do you really think are good in a Windows Phone?
Oh, boy.
Go ahead. I can start with that. It's one of these things that there is an app gap. Everybody talks about it. I think it's way overblown. One of your questions on your show notes was, what third-party app do you use the most?
Yeah.
And I thought about that for a while, and I said, this thing works out of the box for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's very, very few apps that I cannot live without that I can't get.
Right. So what you want, it's got out of the box.
Yeah, for me, and that's different. I know a lot of I'm in Podunk, Oklahoma, and the Podunk First National Bank doesn't have an app. Okay. that's going to happen to everybody. And I think the one that drives me the baddest is the Starbucks app.
Just we not have, having it.
Yeah, it just isn't there. And I don't understand that. There is a Starbucks third party app, which is pretty darn good. I can pay with it. And about the only thing I can't do is fill my card.
Well, it's relatively minor, I guess.
So it's got, it'll find me my Starbucks and for my Starbucks,
I mean, as long as it pays for it and it accumulates the rewards properly, to me that's the main thing.
Well, it just connects into Starbucks and gets the from there, so it does that, shows them to me and stuff. So
okay, what about you, Jack?
Well, the Starbucks app to me means nothing. I'm not a Starbucks coffee drinker, so
but there is a Tim's app, right?
What?
Timmy's? Isn't the Timmy's up there?
Yeah, there is, I think. Yeah, but Starbucks doesn't mean anything to me. But and interesting enough, like Sven, I could probably use this phone directly out of the box and not have to add, a lot of serious stuff. I was perusing the apps that I have available that I purchased either free or paid for that are not on this phone. And my history is over 600 apps that I've tried.
Huh.
And then for a variety of reasons, I don't use them anymore. So I delete them. But you know, that which is most important to me, Twitter, Facebook, of course, it's on. There's a whole series of games on it. Kronos Calendar is an absolute favorite of mine. I mean, I use it just because of the live tile. Exactly. Camera Case is my video app, so I can be checking the temperature at either house, depending if I'm up in Maine or if I'm down here in Boston. Flipboard, Gas Buddy, these are the things that I use every day, as well as there's a slew of Lumina of Nokia apps that are terrific apps. I mean, the Nokia camera, the Creative Studio, the Panorama, they have a Refocus, they have a selfie program, which I don't use. And there's a video trimmer, which is a neat little program. The Microsoft Band. And I don't know if you guys have tried Movie Moments, but Movie Moments is very cool. Of course, my news, Netflix, Office. I mean, it's every package tracker.
Got that.
You know, that's a must-have app. A PDF, Adobe, and in the Microsoft app. A very important one to me is Shazam. I love Shazam. And
really?
What I like about Shazam is that, you know, if you buy it for your Windows phone, you also own it for your Windows device. So this, your Surface Pro 3 whatever you're using, this ability to have a combined store is going to be huge, in my opinion. And, of course, the people listening to the podcast can't see it, but you can see I'm holding up my little Sphero. It's my remote control ball. I love that. When I want a minute of just mindless pleasure, I play with it.
Whose developers I think are not exactly in Sven's neck of the woods, but in the same state, I think. I think they're based in Colorado somewhere.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, I have more on my device, but I don't mention them because I don't use them every day. But most of the stuff that I talk about, I use. Frequently, and to me, it just works.
Yeah, and what about Evernote, which is one of my go-to apps, on Android and iPhone? I think it was on my Windows phone. I can't remember, but I remember it was like I had some issues with it. Is it still there on Windows Phone 8, and is it working now?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I've played with it on Android and iOS, but I've been using OneNote for so long. That's my go-to for that sort of thing. And OneNote is on my Windows phone, on my desktop, on my Android phone, on my Android tablet, on my iOS. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And in fact, they just released an updated version of OneNote for the iPad, and something John and I will probably take a look at sometime in the near future. I don't know if John's tried it yet or not. But, yeah, okay. Okay, well, that's an interesting – and what, the other thing that was – oh, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, the one other app that I wanted to point out, I use quite a bit of ones that Jack was mentioning too, but the Here series of maps and navigation stuff.
Yeah.
That's third party now.
Yeah, that's Nokia. That's not the Nokia that went to Microsoft, right?
Right, that's the Nokia that's not Microsoft
right now.
Actually, I think they're trying to move to Microsoft Mobile is what they rebranded all that or renamed all the stuff that came from Nokia. But the Here maps are pretty good. I mean, every map company has, you can find instances of problems. But they have the ability to do totally offline mapping.
Yeah, I think it's available for Android now. I think I saw that announcement.
Yes, it is, and it's Nokia. So you have a Nokia account, and all your places and stuff will sync across all of the instances. But I can download the entire state of Colorado and the entire United States for offline use.
Wow, that's kind of amazing, because Google Maps lets you do some saving, but it's very limited. It's like a couple of square miles, really.
I can't even get the whole city.
Yeah,
my whole city on Google Maps, and so that makes this $50 phone that I got here.
Yeah,
it's an AV device, totally contained without a plan.
Right.
It's an FM radio, GPS. You know, it's a nice
Just to follow up with what Sven was saying, that is a must-have application. I have all of New England, New York, and Pennsylvania saved on my device because that's where I am most of the time. I go to Pennsylvania a lot, and I just like to have the maps on it. I can load the entire U.S. On the device, if I wanted to, which I don't, but
I need enough space.
when I go to when I go out to Seattle, I put the Washington State maps on, and then I take it off because I won't use it again for a while.
Right. Okay. Now I got to ask about one of my favorite. In fact, the app that kept me on Windows Phone for as long as I did was Ilium Software's eWallet.
Yeah.
And, Sven's got a story I can tell. But so I finally was able to, with help from Ilium, I have to say, they provided a tool to help me move it from eWallet to eWallet Go, which, despite the names, are totally incompatible with each other.
Yes.
and eWallet Go is available. Well, actually, they're both available for iOS. So I've been using it on my iPhone since I migrated my data, a couple of years ago now, like 2.5 years ago. But that I have to say, eWallet from Ilium Software was the one single app that kept me on Windows Phone as long as I did. And one of the things that drove me crazy was it really wasn't available Windows. I should say it was available Windows Mobile, because I don't think it ever came out on 7. I don't ever remember running eWallet on my Windows 7 phone or eWallet Go.
I one of the two was. I don't remember which one. I think it was Go.
Yeah. But like I said, fortunately, I was able to move that over, because that is, although it's now dated and kind of sluggish, it's still my password encryption software app, that I use like almost every day.
Yeah, it's mine too. And I did kind of the same thing that you did. Is I used eWallet for a long, long time on Windows Mobile, used it on my PC.
Yeah.
And that was my environment, was eWallet. And then I got a Windows phone, and they had eWallet Go.
Which is not compatible.
Which is not compatible, and I did the same thing. And that's available on their site still. It's a little, you click something, and it migrates one way.
Yeah.
You can do as many times as you want, but it just migrates one way.
Right.
And then they chose not to build eWallet Go for Windows 8 Metro, the desktop. Oh. They do build eWallet.
Right.
So now you're back to, well, I can't do it on my tablet, because on my RT tablet I can't load, where, and right. They have the wrong one. They have eWallet, but not eWallet Go on the Metro side.
And
so
and the tool doesn't go back the other way.
No, so it's like, you kind of made it difficult for people.
Yeah. It's like that Mars project where the 100 people go to Mars and don't come back.
That's it. That's exactly.
Okay.
But so it's like, I don't understand eWallet Go in the first place. I don't understand why they did that. They had a perfectly good product, ported.
Loved eWallet. Loved eWallet. It was, like I said, if I'm thinking back now, I've been using eWallet since the Windows CE days, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it is the single, if you count eWallet Go as kind of a descendant of it somehow, it is the one app I've been using continuously for probably 2 decades now.
Yeah, it's a subset of
yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, aside from Microsoft Office, I can't think of anything I've used longer than eWallet. So, you know, I really wish they would do something with it. But
it's interesting. That's something that I have just never used, never had the desire to, nor the need to.
Oh, Jack, you must live a wonderful life. Not the need to use it. Or do you use something else? Do you use some other?
Or you need to use more than one password.
You know, my passwords are all unique, but I have a very unique system of dealing with my passwords.
Some algorithm. Okay. Okay, now moving forward, literally, from Windows Phone 8 to whatever comes with Windows. Okay, now this is where I get really confused. Okay, so Windows Phone 8, capital W, capital P,
yeah,
and numeral 8. What is the next thing called? Is it Windows 10 Phone with a lowercase p?
We don't know.
Is it Windows 10 Mobile, Windows Mobile 10? No, you don't know. They haven't said yet.
They've been a lot of conjecture, but it's Windows. It's Windows 10.
On a phone.
And it'll be on a phone. And it'll be on small tablets, and it'll be on Internet of Things, and it'll be on 80-inch conference room touch screen.
Well, white. What is that thing called? I forget already.
Perceptive Pixel is what it was. Is what it used to be called. I don't know what it is now.
It used to be called the Surface, actually.
It used to be called Surface. exactly what it is. I think there's going to be a SKU that will be kind of like iOS, where it'll be on phones, things that have cellular capability, and smaller tablets that you can carry around that may or may not have some kind of LTE capability. And then the next thing up will be whatever you put that has a full desktop and run all the apps.
Yeah, It'll also be on the ARM-based Raspberry Pi 2, which is going to be kind of interesting.
Something will, yeah. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know, right? Which version will be on the Raspberry Pi 2 yet? Could be an IoT kind of thing,
yeah,
but who knows? But now you mentioned Sven, you bought the 635.
Yeah.
Have you upgraded to the technical preview yet?
Yeah, I have. That's the first thing I did. I got it out of the box, made sure it worked, and put the technical preview on it.
And what is it? What is it called in technical preview? Does technical preview have a name for itself, or is it kind of like an amnesiac?
It's the Windows 10 technical preview for phones. So the typical Microsoft naming convention.
You have to take two breaths to say it.
Yes. It looks a lot like Windows Phone 8 in a lot of cases, except there are pieces of it that look a lot like Windows 10 if you're running the technical preview for Windows 10. Hmm. The settings screen looks very, very similar to the new settings screen. If you've got the latest build, you know, the
926. Yeah.
Yeah. Venue. I think you got it on there.
Yeah.
So it looks like that. It's, the notifications have been enhanced a bit. We've got a notification pull down, which you didn't have in Windows Phone 7.
Yeah.
In 8, I've got like 4 tiles that I can pull down that are quick action. I've now got 12 of them. And they look like the notification icons you see on Windows 10 on a laptop or desktop. They're very similar. So you can kind of see that they're trying to make all the interfaces look very much the same.
Yeah.
And you can already see that on the apps. And they're, you know, a lot of these phones are mostly app launchers. If you launch Facebook on Windows Phone 8 or Windows 10 or whatever it is, or iOS or Android, they all look the same. You know, so unfortunately, they look just the same on iOS and Android too. So you can find a ton of Microsoft products on iOS and Android, and they look just like the ones they have on Windows Phone.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. Hey, Jack, go ahead.
On both my Android and iOS, I have an entire screen of nothing but Windows or Microsoft apps.
Yeah. So, they have produced a lot of apps for other platforms.
Excel, PowerPoint.
Right. You know, recently updated, too, I should say.
Yes, yeah. More so than the ones on the phone.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, are you gonna put a technical preview of Windows Phone 10 on any of your phones?
You know, I don't know if I'm going to. I'd have to go out and buy one of the 30 devices. They have to end in a 30.
Yeah. Oh, they do. Okay, so it has to end in a 30, like 630.
Yeah, at the moment.
But it's just something that I'm not sure I really want to do it. It's too early. I've got too much going on. Someone said that when you retire, life is a lot easier. I'm busier now than I've ever been before. I don't know. I wake up in the morning. Next thing I know, it's time to go to bed, and no, it's not an hour later.
Well, you got all that snow shoveling to do that many of us don't have to do.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I got to say that this is a beta. I mean, it's not. It's they had a program for Windows Phone 8 that they called Developer Preview.
Yeah,
which was released to market code, RTM code, that you could get from Microsoft and stick on your phone. It was perfectly stable and exactly the same build number that we were eventually going to get from the carrier. Hmm. This is not.
Okay.
This beta code, it is a little flaky. I've had crashes. I would not put this on my primary device.
Okay. And what's the thing that's most different between Windows Phone 10 or whatever and Windows 8 phone? Phone 8.
The most noticeable difference is the start screen, where Windows Phone 8 has, you can put a background picture on there, and it shows through transparent tiles. And if it's not a tile area, there's black or white between them.
Okay.
Now I have an entire picture that covers the entire back of my screen, and the tiles are now translucent, not transparent. I'm not sure I like it, but that's the way it is. So visually, that's the big difference.
Yeah, that's kind of the new thing, right? I mean, desktop Windows did that for a while. I don't know if the new one does. OS X did that. It really drove me batty because I don't like it. John's laughing, but I don't know if he likes it or not. But I don't like this whole translucent thing. You know, I like solid objects. Or
I just don't have really any hatred or love toward it, so... you can hate it all you want, and I will not disparage your hatred.
Right. And for the five regular listeners of this podcast, if John sounds different, he does, because he's been suffering from a bit of a head cold.
Yeah. So this is a good week to have guests on, so I can just sit back and enjoy. But I am still alive. Thanks for pointing that out.
Okay. So Jack and Sven... or John, do you have any questions? I've been kind of monopolizing it, kind of hoping your voice would recover.
I had one about 20 minutes ago, and I'm trying to remember what exactly my question was. I guess I will move us a little bit forward. One of the questions that I added that I think both Sven and Jack can maybe talk to a little bit more authoritatively would be, what they believe Microsoft has to do or should do, or is Microsoft on the right path to prevent Windows Phone from becoming kind of what the industry fears will happen, where it just won't be around in another couple of years. I mean, I see some of the integration stuff is very positive, where, you know, as Jack mentioned, you can pick up with, your phone right where you left off with your tablet. I think that's something that if you live solely within an ecosystem now, you're used to. So if you have all Apple devices or all Android devices, you're kind of used to a little bit of that. So I see that as a positive. But what else does Microsoft need to do now or yesterday to keep this platform from just dying off?
My answer to that is, if I knew, I'd get Microsoft to hire me. I don't know. I think the last question you had on your little show notes was, have I recommended a Windows Phone to somebody and did they like it? And I have never recommended a Windows Phone to anybody that didn't like it. Once you play with it, it's very easy to use. It's very comfortable. It does what you need it to do. And there are certain things that if you're used to iOS or Android, then it's different, you know. But it's a very good operating system, and what Microsoft needs to do is somehow get people to understand that and try it. you know, even if they have to give the thing away to let you try it for 30 days, you know, and then send it, don't like it. But
it's interesting you mentioned that you've, because I wrote that question because I've had people who've asked me about recommendations, and I've, you know, I generally, my line is you do whatever works best for you. So, yeah. You know, if you go to the store and you like this, you buy it, whatever. But the people that I have talked to that have picked Windows Phone, both of the people I'm thinking of that have done it, have come back to me 6 months later and said, we really wish we hadn't picked Windows Phone. It doesn't have any of the apps on it we want.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there is that app thing. And that becomes a, I think if you're coming from a flip phone or a dumb phone or something, you're not invested in some ecosystem or another.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of peer pressure from friends that I'm using, you know, how well did you undo on Candy Crush yesterday? Well, I don't have that on my phone.
Is that right? Candy Crush isn't on Windows Phone?
I have no idea. I don't play.
I was going to say that might be a good thing.
You know, that's one of those ones that, oh my God, if you don't have that, it's not an option.
It used to be Angry Birds, right, in old days.
Yeah, I got all kinds of Angry Birds online. I don't play them, but I have them on there. So that when somebody asks, I can say, here, play Angry Birds. Yeah. But it and I agree. It's what people are used to. I've had people, I had a kid that we had an intern. He's a college student as a programmer, you know, computer science thing. And he was looking for a new phone, and I had and he was on T-Mobile. I had a 521 phone laying around gathering dust. I said, here, try this for a month. If you like it, keep it. If you don't, give it back. You know, I don't have it back. You know, and he loves it, but you know,
that's good actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it works well. What my hope is, or what I believe is that Microsoft will just continue pouring money into this. And the reason I think that is you've probably seen those display tables at their conferences where they've got everything from an Internet of Things all the way through the phone, through the tablet, through the PC, through the convertible, through the desktop, through the perceptive pixel. That's their vision. There would be a big hole in their vision if they quit making a phone.
I think that the biggest thing that they need to do is similar to what they've done with the Surface Pro 3. Advertise, 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 advertise. I mean, it's huge. It's a big, big mistake. And they need to deal with the people of Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T. When you walk in, you know, what do people try to sell you? I mean, I've gone in there as just a Joe Q customer and you know, what's a good phone? Well, this Android phone. Well, you know, they got to start saying that it's a Windows phone is the phone to be looking at.
Or at least start with, well, what do you normally use at home? You know, what is your ecosystem? What are you what are you invested in? What do you want to do?
Do you have a CPM phone I can use?
Oh God.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, John and I both have been out of this loop for a couple of years, which, you know, in computer time is like a generation, right? It's like a whole generation has come and gone, and we've kind of like not really been paying attention, or at least not much. I mean, we read about it, we go, oh, that's interesting, you know, they've got a new one or something. But but speaking of Surface Pro 3, by the way, two comments. Comment number one is, it has really entered the mainstream from my little limited point of view, because I saw it at Costco last night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, sure. They had an i5 128 gigabyte Surface Pro 3 with the type cover for, I think, a little over $1,000. I think I haven't really been checking the price of these, but it sounded like a good price for that particular device. But, you know, I was thinking about what Jack said about marketing it. But, you know, I think the difference between the Surface Pro 3 and Windows Phone is the Surface Pro 3 has an appeal to a segment of the market that has either A, the disposable income, or the can justify it. You know, it's not disposable, it's real income. But they can say, you know what? I need a 12-inch display in a very small form factor with a decent keyboard that I can, it has, you know, like hours and hours of battery life. that I can tow it around with me because I'm on the plane every week or, you know, whatever the case might be. But phones are a little bit different, I think, because there's a lot of competition there. And in the high-end, ultra-portable market, there's competition. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, there's the Dell, what is it, the X something?
XPS 13.
Yeah, 13, yeah. But the Surface Pro 3 really broke some ground in that particular area, whereas Windows Phone has been playing catch-up, which, you know, to the four of us seems very odd to say because we remember when Windows Mobile phones had, what, 25% of the smartphone market?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the iPhone of its time, market share-wise, not number-wise, but market share-wise.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned about marketing that I think we also need to remember is that Microsoft has to be a little bit more finessed in their marketing. You know, for example, one of the shows that I watch regularly is the Mindy Project on Fox. And Microsoft has paid for placement there and gotten what I think are pretty good organic, you know, sorts of whenever they're texting each other on the show, it's got the little bubbles that look like Windows Phone. And you can tell that it's a unique thing and they use Windows products. But then you've got the situations like earlier this year with the NFL where, you know, it was basically observed that you've got four people with, you know, Surfaces right in front of them and three of them are using them as iPad stands. And that's the sort of thing that really blows up in your face when you're trying to do that saturation marketing when all of a sudden your competition can turn around and say, well, obviously, you know, your device isn't that great, if you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's a finesse sort of thing. I do think that we need to see more advertising for Windows Phone, but it's really hard to get that organic, doesn't feel like it was just paid for to be here sort of feel.
Yeah, and I can sympathize. Or
it's the same kind of thing, but I mean, I watch NCIS a lot, and they're using Surface products, but I know it's a Surface, but I don't know any of the average user. I mean, they're standing there with a tablet and they're writing on it. And what the heck is that? You know, need a big glowing window on the back of the thing.
In the first or might have been the second season of Hawaii Five-0, the rebooted Hawaii Five-0 that's going on now, all the good guys use Windows phones and the bad guys use Android. I don't know if you remember that. And
as it should be.
And the 5.0 team had a Surface RT that they would pull out and very loudly click that, you know, that clicker thing, and stick it on their, you know, on their hood or of the car or whatever as they're, you know, trying to track down the bad guy, which just seemed incredibly funny product placement to me. But I especially like the fact that the good guys use Windows Phone and the bad guys used Androids. I thought, in fact, in one episode, they showed the Android UI closely. The UI was used to detonate a bomb.
From a widget, probably, you know.
Well, just speaking of the Surface, even though we've been dealing pretty much with the Windows
Phone. Sure, go ahead, Jack.
The Surface Pro 3 has changed my whole experience with computing. I no longer have a standalone PC. I have a docking station and a monitor here and a monitor at my lake house. And I just plug it in. It's a full PC experience for me, and I can take it everywhere I go. I mean, it's been an awesome, awesome, awesome device. And my battery power has been, I've never even run dangerously low. Never. I never sit down with more than, you know, for more than 5 hours at a whack anyway. So yeah,
but that's quite long anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issues at all. But it's the experience of having everything, and then when I'm like where I'm sitting now, I have the big screen on. I can be doing work on the big screen as I'm looking at you guys. On the small screen, it's nice.
Hey, we're supposed to be on a big screen.
I want to know why my video shows that it's on when I go into the options for Skype, but the video has a slash in it on the screen. I don't understand why.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out next time maybe. But hey, I've got one more question for you guys. Before we shut down the podcast, or Time Warner decides to shut down my broadband. They do that, you know, about every, if you're on for more than an hour, they tend to like to shut down Skype, or that's my perception. But in any case, my last question for you guys.
Merge with Comcast.
Is, oh, then they'll cut it to 30 minutes. But what's a universal app? I mean, I recently downloaded, I don't have a Windows phone, but I do have Windows 10 running on a tablet. And I downloaded, I think it was like a Microsoft, it was like, I think a CBS app or something, CBS News app or something like that. And it said it was a universal app, and I think I know what it means, but does it literally run on both Windows Phone 10 and Windows 10 on a, you know, on a tablet or desktop or whatever?
That depends. Yes, well, go ahead, it depends on what you mean by really run on both, how technical you want to get. Clearly, you can't run the same app on an x86 as you
yeah,
can.
That's what I'm wondering. Why? What does universal mean?
So what it really is they've designed the underlying operating system and APIs so that you can pretty much write one set of core code that will be compiled for whatever you want it to compile, whether it's Internet of Things or phone or tablet or PC or Xbox even very shortly.
But you do have to recompile. It's not like a Java runtime or anything.
I don't think so. Not a Java runtime, but maybe a just-in-time compiler.
Mm-hmm. It probably, when it puts it together the first time, is like 85% there or 90%. Mm-hmm. And then there's just individual little tweaks that they have to do. And they've actually made it easier for developers to make those tweaks. I mean, it's in time it'll get better and better and better. But from the end user's experience, to be able to take it to buy a program, I mean, like as I was saying earlier, Shazam. I mean, I have it on my device. You only have to buy it once for it, if it's a pay app.
Yeah, so I was going to ask that. Thanks.
Now you get it on your PC.
Okay, so you buy it. So if you buy a universal app in the Windows Phone Store, it which I guess isn't a distinction in the Windows 10 frame, you also now own that universal app on your desktop device or tablet device or whatever.
Interestingly enough, I did get it on my device.
Yeah.
And then when I was doing some reading on the universal apps, I just didn't use it on my PC experience. I more tend to use it with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to look it up in the store on my Surface, actually on my Samsung Slate, and it says you own this app. And I said, whoa, this is slick. So then I tried it on my Surface Pro 3. So now it's on everything that I have. Nice. Not that I'll use it, but I just did it, you know, just. Yeah. Just to try it. And there are several of them out there now that are available. In fact, there's a new Movie Maker One program that's out on the phone. That is a universal app. They have not yet released it for the PC, but that's coming soon. I think it's made by Veneta, I forget. It's a $2 app, and everybody says that it's really terrific. But you know, apps are not expensive like they were back in the Windows Mobile days.
Yeah,
I mean, they really are making it more palatable for users, and also the split between Microsoft and a developer is consistent throughout. I think it's a 70-30 split, Sven. Do you know what that is?
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds all right. That's what Apple does with their developers, 70-30.
Yeah, yeah. I mean it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, I want to thank you guys a lot. So this is Tadao Gasawara, my regular podcast co-host, John Westfall, and our special guest this week are mutual old friends to both of us, Jack Cook, who joined us a little later, and Sven Johansson, who was with us from the start, Sven and Jack are current Microsoft Windows Phone Consumer Most Valuable Professionals, or MVP for short. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's
the Microsoft naming convention.
Thanks for joining us for this podcast. It was really informational for me, since and also saved John Westfall's voice, because he's still, I don't know, under the weather, but his voice is, you sound scratchy there, John.
Yeah, well, it's getting better. Yeah, it was downright painful for my students to listen to on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I don't drink, but here in Hawaii, I hear that the winning combo is hot tea with some honey and a shot of whiskey. But again, I don't drink, so I don't know about the whiskey part.
Or rum. Rum will work too.
Yeah, if you put enough of that in, you don't remember that your voice is scratchy.
Exactly. So maybe that's what it is. Okay, so this was Mobile Views Podcast 109. We'll talk to everyone later.